Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. You guys are in for a massive explosion of a treat today because I am so excited to have Michelle Villalobos with us. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
If you guys don't know who Michelle is, she is one of the most exciting, fun people you'll ever meet because of her background and just the exciting stuff she's done. I mean, she's been in business for 10 years, so she's got a huge track record that way. But started off as a former teacher, magazine publisher. The cool thing is she ended up beating her brother in the Miami, you got to remind me, it was Miami.
The Miami Herald Business Plan Challenge that they do every year.
Talk about bragging rights. I love that. That is so cool.
It's fun, especially when I'm back with my brother at like Thanksgiving dinner and I get to remind him that I beat him.
Well, I'm highly competitive. So if that would have been my sister, I would be very, very competitive as well. But in addition to that, you've started the Women's Success Summit, one of the largest ones down in Miami area. And I think the part I'm most excited about is this whole idea as far as a superstar business model that you've created, where a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are either small business owners or solopreneurs who are really trying to kind of grow their business. And that's an area that you've really focused on and really is going to be kind of the key that we're going to spend time talking about today is how do you scale that type of a business? And I love the thing you kind of coined as far as your small events, big money model, which we'll get to in just a second. But with all that said, anything else you want to add before we just jump right into this topic?
Oh, no, I'm excited. You tell me where to start. I can tell we're going to have a good time already.
Well, I'd love to kind of talk about the idea as far as scaling. And because I know this is a issue a lot of people have when, especially for if one of the things we were talking about before we kind of started the show here, and that was the business models that you work in. So, Michelle, the service professionals or those people who are trading time for money, which is a lot of people these days. So tell me, what are some of the things you're doing to help that group of people?
All right. So essentially, I should probably just give you a little tidbit of my story so you can understand how I arrived at this awareness. I've been in business since 2007. I very, very intelligently timed the beginning of my business right around the beginning of the major, major recession. So from the get-go, my business was a struggle. And I didn't really go into business with much of a plan. I said, I'm going to be a marketing consultant and I'm going to just help, you know, people that I know in this community. I was pretty well known in Miami at the time, had a lot of connections. And I thought, I'll just put myself out there and let people know that I'm available for hire and they can bring me in and pay me loads of money because I have an MBA and this is going to be just an amazing business and I'm never going to have another boss again and my life is going to be awesome. And so for about 6-7 years, I basically beat my head against the wall. Like I networked to generate business. I would, as a consultant, I would, I'd network and I'd sit down with people for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to try to understand what they needed. And I would listen and I would give them all these great ideas. And then, you know, we'd finish our meeting and then I'd offer to write them a proposal and they'd say, sure. Yeah, I'll take a look at a proposal. And I would belabor a proposal for another eight or 10 hours. And, you know, it was just such a terrible, looking back, it was such a terrible way of running my marketing, of generating new business, of selling, of closing. It was a recipe for disaster on many, many fronts, both on a money front, right? I wasn't making as much money as I could. It was very unleveraged, unscalable. On top of that, I was exhausted and I was feeling like a failure, right? So in 2014, some pretty major stuff went down in my personal life. And I kind of checked out of my business for a couple months. And when I checked back in, it turned out I hadn't made any money in 2 months. And so that was a huge aha moment for me because I realized that I had not built a business. I had built a job and not even a very good job because I couldn't even take a leave of absence from this job. And I was a terrible boss. I rarely gave myself any days off, or I started early in the morning. I ended late at night. I worked on weekends. So I had the aha moment that my business was broken. And after kind of you know, licking my wounds a little, I went and found some mentorship. And I, in September of that year, I shifted my business model. And by the end of the following year, I had a $1 million business, which, you know, I was more shocked than anybody that I had been able to pull this off, because for 7 years I had hovered around 100, 200. A couple years I made it up to like the upper twos, but that's it. So for me to go from that to over to $1 million in 14, 15 months was kind of wild. And obviously people, you know, I had to go back and kind of reverse engineer what I did. And once I did that, I realized the number one shift that I made was just shifting my business model. And so that's when I became sort of a student of business models. And now I find myself, I'm kind of obsessed with finding, creating, and understanding business models all over the place.
I love that. I think, Michelle, one of the things I run across all the time, I literally just had this conversation with Russell before our call, and that is seeing the different levels that businesses grow up to and then get stuck at.
Yep.
And you're right that for some reason that the solopreneur, it's you hit the first ceiling for most people always seems to be, I just want to break through
300. Oh, yeah, that's the first one. Yep.
And then the next one, you're right, it's 300. And mm-hmm. you get stuck in that 250, 3 for a mm-hmm. while. And then from there is I want to go over 5 and then 5 to $1 million. But I can tell you, I love the idea that you went from, you kind of leapfrogged a couple of those tiers.
Yeah.
Because the next thing I see is a lot of people who get stuck in that 1 to 2, 3 million. And I know I've been stuck there multiple times where I had a business where it's bouncing up that 2 to 3 million range. You just can't get past that. And then all of a sudden you jump and then you hit the 5 and the 10s. Mm. And I think that as we were sitting there talking about the idea as far as, for so many companies and business owners, you know, the first thing you got to kind of figure out is, you know, what and how you're going to sell. It seems to be your 0 to 7 figures area. But I really,
yep.
I'm dying to find out. I mean, that's a huge leapfrog to go from that, you know, 150 to 250 range up to $1 million within 14, 15 months. That's, I mean, so what are some of the things that our listeners could glean from what you learned?
So the first one was that, okay, there are so many. I call these inflection points. These inflection points were kind of the big shifts that I made that led to this outcome. So the first inflection point was I hit rock bottom. I don't know that everybody needs to do that, but I know that that's what happened to me. I hit rock bottom, and at the same time that I hit rock bottom, my family ran into a financial challenge as well. So kind of my safety net got pulled out from under me at the same time that I realized I hadn't made any money and that I was kind of, you know, I hadn't really built a business. So all of that happened at once, which was actually a blessing in disguise, because what it did for me is it gave me my fuel. It gave me the desire and the want and the need and the must, right, that I didn't have before. Before, I was kind of floating along and I could manage, and maybe I'd have up months and down months and maybe they kind of sucked and, you know, but I was getting by, right? But I hadn't gotten like pissed off enough, or I didn't have a strong enough will or desire to really shift or change anything. So that was the first thing, was that there's got to be this kind of like, you know, this must. And that I finally felt it that year. The second big thing was that I got mentorship. I started working with a mentor, and specifically with a mentor who had a business model that I liked, that I admired. I looked at his business model and I thought, I could do this, right? If they show me what I need to do, like I could see the business model. I'll just give you the brief version of it. We did a small events model. So the small events model is, instead of, we had been doing these huge 500 person events in Miami, and instead these guys were doing these small 10 person events, but the small 10 person events had much higher price point, and they had much higher conversion on the back end into a high level mastermind. And I thought, I could do that. Like, I can run these 3-day immersion events and deliver massive transformation to people and then offer something else on the back end of that. So the mentorship was a huge piece of what I learned. The third piece is the business model itself, which was this small event model. And I mastered another big inflection point was I had always thought that I was really good at sales. I had, you know, I'd actually done some sales trainings in the past, and I considered myself, I had been in sales before. I sold magazine ads, I sold real estate, I've sold art. So I thought of myself as a sales expert, but I didn't realize that when it came to selling myself, I wasn't doing a very good job. And so I learned a new sales process or a new sales like approach that was totally different than anything I'd ever been taught before. It came from a place of integrity. It came from a place of listening rather than sharing or talking. So a very different approach to sales. So those are some of the big, big shifts that I made alongside with shifting that the business model.
I love it. I can say the part I really want to find out more about, and that is this whole idea as far as small events. I think you know, for the most part, a lot of people think of small events. Very first thing probably comes to mind are webinars and, you know, are thinking in that area. But you're talking about physical events where you're actually bringing people in, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So the what happened was, so I already had a business, right? It wasn't a terrible business. It was a business that generated, you know, 200 to something a year for a couple of years, you know, in that range. And so it's not like I was, you know, starving, and it's not like I had no brand. I did. And I knew how to get myself in front of groups of people. So I already knew how to, you know, I knew the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce would put me on a stage if I wanted them to. And I was going around and I was speaking, you know, at some events. I spoke at Entrepalooza that year, and I got asked to speak at a women's event. And so here's a big, big transition, another inflection point. So this is good because I like odd numbers, and this would make the fifth inflection point. Is that I had gone to a National Speakers Association meeting, my first one back in 2013. And I remember arriving there, and after 4 days of talking to traditional speakers, every single one of them told me, like, if you're speaking for free, you're not a real speaker. And my ego took such a big hit from that I came back straight away and I stopped. I said no to the next engagement that came in front of me, which was in front of 700 women entrepreneurs in Orlando, Florida. I could kick myself because I know that I would have made $1 million with my new model speaking at that event. But I digress. My point is that I had believed this story that if you speak for free, you're hurting the industry, you're not a real speaker, yada, yada. So I stopped doing that. But then by 2014, in my desperation and also in learning this new business model, I knew, or my coach helped me know, that if I could get in front of enough people, I could pretty easily fill a 10-person retreat at, you know, a couple thousand dollars per seat. I wasn't 100% sure that I could do it, but they believed in me so much. This is the value, one of the many values of mentorship, that, you know, and they held me to account for actually doing it, that I went out there, I did 3 speaking engagements, and lo and behold, 45 days later, I had 10 people in my first retreat, and I converted 3 of those people into my very first mastermind program. So I, to this day, if I look back from those speaking engagements, I've generated over 200,000 at least just from that 1 month that I went out and did those 3 speaking engagements.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, fantastic. Right?
Mm-hmm. So I know obviously a lot of people sitting thinking, well, how do I actually do this? So what's, how are you actually doing, how are you getting these small events, and how are you making such big money on the back end of these things?
So it's really easy. That's the crazy thing. Like, here's the thing, Dave, if you're somebody like me or you, if somebody is listening and they're somebody who loves to educate, they love to teach, they love to help people transform. They love to, you know, even people who do done for you services, like, you know, anybody who can give enough value, who can give massive value in a 3-day event. And let me tell you, it's not hard to do. You know, we have a standard format that we use. It's like, here's what you do on day 1. Here's what you do on day 2. Here's what you do on day 3. And it fits pretty much any I haven't run across a business model that I couldn't figure out some way to work a retreat into the mix, as long as the business is some sort of like speaker, author, coaching, consulting, expert type of model, right? But even for like an SEO company, for example, this could work, where basically you give a massively intensive 3-day experience where you deliver tons of value and you have outcomes, right? Like our outcomes in our retreats is people walk away with a 90-day action plan. They walk away with their pricing and their packages for their programs. They walk away with their brand, either a new brand or their old brand revitalized. They walk away with, you know, just like lots of outcomes, right? By the end of the second day, they want to keep working with you. That's, it just happens, is, you know, as long as you're delivering value and you're honest and you have integrity, you don't even need to sell hardly, which is what I love the most, because I hated, and I honestly still hate selling from the stage. I'm not a big person. You know, I'm not someone who's going to love to get up and give a, you know, big sales pitch, right? There are people out there that love to do it, but in my experience, most of us prefer not to. And so in this type of environment with a retreat, you can make a very easy, casual, very good feeling offer, and people will just, at this point, they will want to keep working with you. And at that point, you can sell them on a 1-year retainer or a 1-year coaching program or a 1-year you know, service contract, whatever the 1-year thing is that you can continue to deliver on the back end of that. That's where you sell it. And I'll tell you that in 3 years, we started out, we got 3 of those people to sign up for our inner circle in that event. And at our last event, we had over a 50% close rate of people who signed up. Yeah. And meanwhile, this is coming from someone who used to do these 500 person events, and we could barely get like a 20% conversion rate into our, you know, it was so much stress. We spent so much money on those huge events, and there was so much pressure to then show up and deliver. And that would get in the way of like, cause I would be worried, are we going to make enough sales? You know? So I'm kind of babbling a little bit, but I remember how hard it used to be. And this model is so easy and natural. And that's, you know, this is the model that we teach our clients.
That's awesome. I love the idea. So, I mean, one of the things as you take a look at this is providing such massive value. And I think that's the thing, you know, at times, especially in the service business that you're talking about, the speakers, authors, coaches, when you're trading dollars for time, you're always, a lot of people seem to be a little bit hesitant as far as what to actually give, because they're afraid they don't want to give too much or they don't have enough to offer on the back end. So how do you deal with that?
I just don't agree. My philosophy has, I used to think that way too. And now I know that the more value you deliver, and I don't mean just in the form of like information. It's really important that for people who are considering doing a retreat, you know, listen to this really carefully. Information is not transformation. And so I used to get those two things confused. I used to try to dump as much information on people as possible. It still worked, right? They still got massive value, but you know, they would sometimes be more overwhelmed, you know, or they might even say, oh, well, I got everything I needed from this week and I'm good. Thank you. So what I learned is that in the retreat, we also create a space for transformation. And the way that our transformation happens and the way that I would recommend you guys, you know, everybody listening go about it, is to not only create the relationship between you and your client, but also to create that container and that culture with among the clients too. There's value in the group, right? In the group format. In the beginning, I used to think that I was the magical unicorn source of all the value in the room. And I've since come to learn that I am one piece of the magic. But the container itself, the people there, the people I bring in, you know, the group itself creates a whole new level of value. I call it leveraged value, that did not exist without the group. And so that's why I'm such a big fan of this process or this of this model, because it also takes a lot of the pressure off of that superstar, quote unquote, superstar individual that used to do everything himself or herself. Make sense?
Oh, totally. And I appreciate you mentioning that, because I think that's the scarcity mindset is what's going to kill any entrepreneur. And I appreciate your addressing that. I think it's one of the things I love most about, you know, watching some of the stuff you've been doing. I know you've got some other events coming up here doing the exact same thing. I really want to kind of talk to, as you look at these types of events. I mean, obviously people are going, well, gosh, Dave, this is Funnel Hacker Radio. How in the world do you, how do you use ClickFunnels if these are events and all that kind of stuff? And I know obviously there's the ability to fill the events and using those types of funnels. But tell me more specifically, when you're taking a look at these types of events, how really are you getting those bodies there? I mean, how do you get people in butts in the seats?
Okay, that's a great question. So first of all, you know, the idea of butts in seats to me is, at least for me, I associate it to a different type of model. I associate it to kind of a model, a mass model, a high volume model, a model where it's where people are not as, you know, we call them souls in seats, right? I'm sure we're not the first person to use that. But the idea is that, you know, we're not selling $25 seats or even $100 seats at these events. We are, our approach to this model is a higher ticket approach, but the model can still get translated into lower price points. And so the way we fill ours might be a little different than somebody who does a lower price point, but what we do is a mix, obviously. And I like to say, you know, we have not found the one solution that puts 100 people into our event. We found 100 solutions that put one person into our event. We have a combination of things. One of the things that we do, and of course, and it's super important that people understand, we've layered these things in over time. So I'm going to lay them out and you're going to think, oh my God, that's so much. But keep in mind, you don't have to do all of them. And especially if you guys are funnel hackers, we're just getting into this ClickFunnels funnel hacking game. Like, you know, you are way, way ahead of us if you already know how to, you know, create a funnel and you can absolutely use those to fill your events. But what we do is we have a few things. Number one, we use a feeder event. We do what we call a feeder event. The feeder event is, we've done half day versions of it, and we just started doing a full day version of it. The feeder event is a low price point event. So anywhere from zero to maybe about $97. When it's zero, what we found though is that the people are not as qualified, they don't show up as much. So we actually use a $1 methodology where we gift them the pass for $1 on the condition that if they don't show up, we call it a seat deposit. If they don't show up, we're going to charge them the full amount. I know there are other tricks out there, but this is the one that we feel is the most aligned with the way we want to do things. So we don't do the thing where you give the ticket and then, or they buy the ticket and then you pay them back. We don't do any of that stuff. But what we do is when we have a special deal, we do it for $1. And then if they don't show up, we tell them we're going to charge the full amount of the event. So that we get about a 90% show up rate when we do that, which is really high. I know, right? So that feeder event is called, in our case, it's called Speak to Serve. And the reason, like from a branding perspective, that aligns up because our signature immersion event, our signature retreat, is called Superstar Speaker Academy. And it's soon to be called Superstar Speaker Business Academy because we're focusing really on the business model and the business plan. So we do Speak to Serve, and then I do halfway through the day, right before lunch, I usually do a call to action for anyone who wants to have a strategy session with somebody on my team to learn about working with us. So I do that as my plan B, as my backup. So by the end of lunch, we've got a stack of people who are interested in having strategy session. Strategy session is kind of the sales tool that we use when we're selling a high ticket program or a medium ticket program. Then at the end of the day, before the end of the day, about three quarters of the way through, then I make an offer, a very casual, story-driven offer where I tell people, you know, if you want to come to our next superstar retreat, you know, this is the deal. And it's no longer than about a 15-minute offer. And then from there, we usually get, you know, a handful of people that sign up and then a handful of people who, if they didn't sign up, we have their strategy session that following week. And so that's one of the primary things we use to fill the event. The second thing we do is that we do. So for example, if we ever do like webinars, which we do every once in a while, and we do partnerships with webinar with people who want to host webinars with us, we'll sell a program called the Superstar Accelerator. And with that program, we give away a strategy session. So those generally to kind of tie it up with a bow right now. We usually sell the high ticket, the retreats with a strategy session, with a phone call. We have not been using like a funnel to sell our retreats. We have a landing page, but that landing page puts people into a strategy session because we've kind of mastered the art of selling over the phone. And because this is really important, Dave, and because you want to be careful about who you put in the room. You can't just put, if you're going to do this model, if you're going to do the small events model and a retreat, you can't have 10, 12, 15 people. You can't have one bad apple because it will spoil the bunch, right? So you want to make sure that the people you're putting in there are good people. So this, for some of you ClickFunnels people, you know, this would be a great model for you to use once you've sold like a lower, like a 197 or a 497 program. A great next step would be to put people into a retreat. Make sense?
I love it. So tell me, how long are your strategy sessions then?
45 minutes, usually.
Okay. And so they're coming in basically from $1 to $97 on the feeder events. And then what are the actual, what are kind of the ticket prices you're looking at for your small events?
So we usually do about $1,997 to $2,500.
So 1997 to 2500, and that is for it's a 3-day event.
Well, and I'm glad you asked that, because one thing that I noticed early on was that people some people will resist investing that much in a 3-day event. They'll be like, what? You know, that's a lot of money for 3 days. And they don't know any better, right? They don't know that in 3 days you can have a massive transformation in your business. You can totally shift your business model in 3 days. You can totally shift your target audience, your approach, your messaging, right? So they don't realize it, and they get nervous, right? There's no way we can get my outcomes in 3 days. So what we do is we position it as a program that includes a 3-day retreat.
Oh, I love that idea. That's really cool. So is the program delivered over an online type of program? Is it?
And it's about 30 days, like leading up to. You're getting all my tricks today. So the reason for that is it saves us work at the retreat itself. Like if we give them some prep work, which is super fun, and it's video based with me. So it gets them ready for the event. And then that means that once they get on site, they've already thought about some things. They've already done some of the pre-work. And the thing is, if somebody's committed, which is part of our strategy session conversations, how committed are you? If somebody's super committed, they're not going to have a problem doing the homework. So, you know, when you get up to this level with people, these are people who are good to work with, you know, generally.
That's fantastic. So then at that 3-day, then to a higher ticket as well, correct?
Yeah. And then they're way more qualified, right? They're, you know, it's not an easy jump to the next level. But it's definitely one that we've had people, you know, put it on a credit card. We've had people pull it from a retirement account. We've had people, you know, and I used to like think, oh, you know, is that okay? And now I'm like, damn straight it is. I just finished paying my $54,000 loan for my MBA, and nobody ever taught me how to sell crap in my MBA. You know, like we give people so much more value than any MBA program. You know what I mean? So, you know, I know that when people want to really make a shift in their life and they want to invest in themselves, I feel really good about them making that decision and doing that with me.
Fantastic. So what is the investment of the next level with you?
So that one has kind of varied over time as well, but somewhere between 25 and 35,000.
That's perfect. That's
for the year, which of course you want to position always as a monthly investment rather than the big, you know, the big, big number, you know? So.
No, I think that is really, really cool. Well, I love the idea. I think it's fantastic. I would really hope anybody who's listening to this, especially if you're in the authors, if you're in an industry right now where you're trading time for dollars, this is, again, I was so excited to have you come on and talk about this, Michelle. I think it's just a brilliant model. And again, those people who are already using, you know, ClickFunnels and other types of funnels, this can be part of the sales ladder. It works out extremely well, but I think it's just ties in so well to really be able to scale your business and while helping others do the exact same. So I think it's awesome.
Thank you. And you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Well, thanks. Well, I know when you and I were talking before, we were talking about giving people some way of getting a hold of you. So what's the easiest way for them reaching out? Because I know what typically happens after this is people are going to go, well, I need more Michelle. So how do I get more Michelle?
Yay! You can have more Michelle. Just go to, you can Google my name, Michelle Villalobos, but you might have a little trouble spelling that. So you can also just find me at superstaractivator.com, superstaractivator.com. And actually there you can request a strategy session, and we have all sorts of goodies and giveaways and things that you can get. You can watch videos. There's a whole bunch of good stuff there. So I would just recommend going to superstaractivator.com. And signing up for our mailing list, because that when you're on our list, I usually on a regular basis, but not terribly often. I'm not a spammer. I send out like lessons or stories or goodies or giveaways or templates and checklists. So I give a lot of stuff away. Generally, when I come up with things, I like to share it. And that's a great place to just stay connected with me.
Awesome. Well, one of the things we're going to try to test out, because a lot of times people listen to these podcasts and they're usually on their phone or they're working out or listen to this at usually 2 to 3 times speed, trying to maximize their time. So again, if you didn't get so it's superstaractivator.com. I'll make sure we have that down in the show notes. And then we also want to test something out. I think we're going to try to test out a text code as well.
Yeah. This is a new thing that we're using. See how high tech we're getting, Dave? It's you text to the number 72000, which is 72,000, and then text the word superstar, and you will get onto our list, and you'll also get some freebies. I think what I have in there right now is we've got Googlicious, which is basically, you know, I got my start a while ago in personal branding. So I used to do personal branding stuff for corporations and executives, and then kind of moved over to entrepreneurs. So we have this Googlicious, which is all about how to own your name on Google, how to dominate it. And then I also have one called Raise Your Prices, which is how to position yourself so that you can command higher prices. So it's a guide in shifting your perceived value. So those two goodies get given away when you opt in through the 72,000 number.
And I'm really kind of curious to see how this is going to go. This is the first time we're trying this thing out. So I love to get some feedback, see how this goes. So Michelle, as always, it's such a pleasure to spend time with you. And if any other parting words before we let everybody go?
Oh, well, we said a lot. I'm so pleased to have been asked to do this podcast, Dave, and I'm excited to continue to get to know you even better and do more cool things with you. Thank you.
Awesome. My pleasure. Again, everyone check out superstaractivator.com or text the word superstar to the number 72,000. Thanks again, everyone. I wish you all the best in your business, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.